First question is the treatment that you received for leukemia at the Fred Hutchinson Hospital Center now available to all victims of leukemia?
Well, thank you for the question. I think we have a wonderful opportunity today, and having Professor Thomas with us, I'm sure she would be, she's going to be very happy to answer this kind of questions that he, of course, knows much better than myself. So, Professor Thomas, if you don't mind, you could answer this question that is absolutely in the scientific field. Thank you.
Well, the number of centers doing intensive treatment and marrow transplantation has been increasing almost exponentially. In Europe and North America, there are now more than 200 centers where this kind of treatment is given, including those in Spain, which did not exist in 1987 when Jose came to Seattle. Certainly, some of the lesser developed countries don't yet have this technology, but we are training such people from those countries, and hopefully they will also.
What actions can other people take when faced with life-threatening diseases, or to help friends or relatives who have such diseases? What would you recommend?
Well, I think that anybody of us has been faced with a problem of having a relative, a very close friend, suffering from a serious illness. I believe, and I can say this for my little experience on that, that there is nothing like affection to help. The kind of support that we all need in these very, very difficult moments. This is, in my opinion, as important as any therapy.
Is your recovery now 100%? Do you fear a remission? And is your experience the same that we could expect for any leukemia patient?
Well, again, I can talk for myself. I feel 100%. I'm out of any treatment. I live a complete normal life in every sense, no limitations at all in my professional or personal life. But of course, how can I answer myself what this kind of question? The same could expert for any leukemia patient. I hope so very much. And I think that every day, as I said before, there are more and more percentages of success in beating this disease. But of course, this is depends so much in so many different things. What is the clinical history of the patient, how the patient reacts to the treatment. Professor Thomas, tell me if I'm wrong, but I imagine that every patient is a different world. But what I can say is that if it happened to me, why not to the others?
Do you think enough attention and research and money is being devoted to research for leukemia and ways to avoid it? In other words, is government, individuals, and foundations, are they all doing enough?
Well, I believe that there is no country in the world, not even the most richest countries in the world, we have here an example, the administration cannot help research as much research is need, as much as need, or as much they would like to, I'm sure. Then these kind of institutions like ours, the Jose Carreras International Leukemia Foundation, or many, many other around the country or around the world, they have they take this task in their hands, and the civil society is trying to do what the governments or the administrations in any country of the world are not able to do. So, of course, money is needed. Money brings research, and only with research we are going, we hope, soon to beat any disease.
Is your foundation concerned primarily with raising money? And if so, how much money has been raised, and does the money go for purposes other than research?
Well, I think that altogether the foundation's social capital it raised so far a sum of approximately $10 million. That allowed us to spend $1 million, I'm talking in approximate figures, of course, for our purposes, for our programs, for our projects. We also help other fields, but like I said before, trying to give a better technical support to certain hospitals and centers that they needed in Spain, particularly. We try to help also in the social field, giving to the patients the information they request, they ask for. But mainly, our aim is to help research.
What insight has your illness given you about the present state of health care in the United States?
You couldn't ask a better question. I mean, no, seriously speaking, I think that we all know how advanced, technologically speaking and scientifically speaking, this country is. All the world takes advantage of that. And of course, I'm a proof of that, having the opportunity to talk to you today. But I would like to stress something very important, and I briefly mentioned in my speech. I expected technology, be it at this level in this country, but I probably didn't know what was expecting me from the point of view of human support and solidarity from the whole sanitary world in this country. So thanks again for this wonderful support and warmth that I received.
Considering the success of the Hutchinson Hospital research, what is the next logical step in enhancing leukemia treatment and research?
No, really. This is Dr. Thomas. Please, doctor, please help me, because no opera questions?
I'll get to that.
No, I mean, I'm trying to do my best, but
well, this is a difficult question to answer. It encompasses the whole area of leukemic research, and I couldn't begin to answer it in a short period of time. I will say that the Carreras Foundation, with Jose and the Scientific Advisory Board, has decided to focus particularly on what we call young investigators, brilliant young investigators. In the main, these are people who have completed their clinical training, their subspecialty training, or their postdoctoral PhD work, and then need 2 or 3 years of support before they can become recognized and secure grants on their own. So for right now, we are focusing on those people with a wide range of areas, because we think the next 10 or 20 years will depend on the advances that those young people make.
Would you encourage other celebrities such as yourself to adopt a foundation or charity working to eliminate a particular disease, even if they have not become a victim of that particular illness?
Well, I think that there are many, many people from the musical or what you call here in the States, show business world, that they are dedicating their talent and time to very noble causes. So I think that people that they feel encouraged by themselves, that their mentality, their idiosyncrasy, their the way they see life and society, if they do it, that means that they really feel to do it. And of course, what I can tell you is that every time I've asked some of my colleagues to join me for a concert or for a program or for whatever purpose to help the foundation, all of them, responds in a wonderful way, and I know that I can count on them. So I think the musical world, I think the show business, between brackets, world, is very much in the line of trying to help these noble causes, and it's a field, it's a world full of sensitivity towards these problems.
Okay, now we'll move into opera. This is the bridge question. Has what you have been through changed your approach to your art or given a different dimension to your singing?
Well, I always thought that the artist and the man walks parallel, and that the artist at the end of the day is just a reflect of the man's sensitivity, fears, mentality, feelings, emotions. Therefore, after such a difficult period in my life, such extremely difficult period in my life, I have changed as a man. Probably the artist has changed as well. But this, I'm afraid, is something that the others have to judge. The public, the press, because for me it's a kind of natural way of doing things. Again, if the way I perform or the way I sing has changed in the last few years, it's because the man has changed as well.
On a personal level, who has been your mentor or teacher that has most affected your life?
Well, I could mention a few people. My very first vocal teacher in Spain, my very first music teacher in Barcelona as well, and later on, people that inspire myself, many, many artists, but I would like to emphasize one name, which is Giuseppe Di Stefano. This is, we were talking before about this. And I think that music and art, the most important thing in music and art are feelings. How we transmit these feelings, how the audience receive these feelings. And I always said, when I'm singing, when I perform in front of an audience, I would like very much to give to this audience the same kind of emotions and the same kind of feelings I received when I had the opportunity to hear Giuseppe Di Stefano on stage or in a recording.
Were you really having as much fun as it appeared in the three tenor concerts with Domingo and Pavarotti?
No, much more than that. Because you don't know what was going on backstage. In reality, we were watching the football between Italy and England. Anyways, this is off the record. No, I can tell you that we really had a fantastic time. We were three kids that we were doing what we really most like in life, which is singing. And I think that this concert, besides the event, a musical event or artistic event itself, had many other things that make this night a very special one. First of all, I think that through this concert, and thanks to this concert, and I'm sorry, I'm part of it and I shouldn't talk this way, but I think that this kind of music has arrived to a much more larger part of the general public. Another thing is that the three of us, we have been in the past frequently associated with certain rivalry between us. And I think the public all over the world, they have seen that there is no rivalry, that there is a lot of affection, a lot of admiration and support between the three of us. So, let me announce you that most probably, next year in July, also for the events of the World Cup, Soccer World Cup, is going to happen, probably, that the three of us are going to be again together in this country and most probably in California. So I'm very happy to say this.
You stole my next question. But the first part of that question was it difficult to bring all three of you together? Whose idea was it?
Well, difficult from it concerns schedules and exclusivities with a record company or with another and all these kind of things. I mean, to put the project together, it was difficult. The idea, well, is an idea that was quite obvious. I was asked to, well, what you would do for a very special event, something really different from the musical field, operatic field, etc., etc. And I said, well, I don't think there is anything better than to put the three of us together. This is an idea that came from an old friend of mine many years ago, and he's here today. But in any case, I have to tell you that once all the scheduling problems were resolved, set up, we all were very, very enthusiastic about the project and about the idea.
I don't know what this question means, but I'll risk it and ask it anyways. During the Three Tenors concert, what were you doing to poor Pavarotti?
I don't think Mr. Pavarotti is poor in any sense. Well, maybe you refer to this when we were singing already in the encores, this O Sole Mio piece, when he did his... He does always this kind of thrill in this... May I allow to do it? It is perfectly all right. This is in the tradition of this kind of songs. And then Placido and myself, we said, well, why don't we do it as well? And that was it. That came in a very spontaneous way. And at this point of the concert, I think that was more than acceptable and genuine. And it was not at all to try to establish any comparison or anything. It came really spontaneously. And I think, well, believe it or not, this is one of the things that people remember most of this concert.
What was your favorite memory of that concert?
The affection between the three of us, the friendship, the relation, the genuine friendship relation between the three of us. This is the most memorable thing in that concert.
How do you respond to critics who have said that you try too hard to popularize opera and thus make it somehow less pure?
Well, I think everybody has the right to express their opinion, and I respect this opinion, of course. They may be right in a certain way, and until a certain point. This kind of thing, they have advantage and disadvantages. But let me tell you, we all know what it is to perform in the major opera houses, Mozart, Verdi, Bellini, Donizetti, Puccini. We know what we are talking about. We have over 20 years of career in these major opera houses. If the society is asking for this kind of events, because opera is becoming more and more popular all over the world, and like this opera is not going to be accused, like it has been for so long, as being elitist and as being a kind of event for a certain part of the society, I think the advantages of this kind of this type of concert are enormous compared with the disadvantages.
You mentioned that you were taken by the opera when you were 7. How do you suggest turning today's children onto the opera the way that you were?
Well, I think there are different ways. That depends in which family this child has been born. But I think that this is a big mistake to try to force children to listen to a specific kind of music, even if the parents or the family loves this kind of music. I think we should give them the opportunity to choose by themselves. In our days, media are so strong, television, radio, papers, cinema, etc., that they have the opportunity to choose by themselves. This has to be, of course, supported by opera houses all over the world, that they should do, in my opinion, and many of them they already do, some school performances of opera. At the beginning, the most easy works, I don't know, La Bohème, Tosca, Carmen, not to put the poor children in a Parsifal performance. I'm a Wagner lover, of course, but I think that in our days would be wrong to force them to choose a specific kind of music. What we have to do is to give them the opportunity, and this I think they do that very well at this moment, to choose what they prefer, what their feelings, what their inclinations are.
What are your memories of Leonard Bernstein during the recording of West Side Story?
Well, that was an extraordinary experience. I mean, I have to tell you that for the very first time in my life, I had the opportunity to sing a piece where the composer was present, and on top, he was conducting. That was the problem. No. I have to tell you that, honestly, it has been an enormous privilege to work with him. We all know what Bernstein did for the musical world. And also from the human and personal point of view, I keep a wonderful memory of this recording. And let me tell you something. In this recording, I think this documentary that BBC did of this recording, it was exceptional. And it was exceptional, in my opinion, because for the first time, the general public have seen what really happens in a recording studio. Not people flattering each other, oh, you are the most wonderful. No, but come on, you are the most wonderful. No, there is a lot of stress, there are a lot of pressure, a lot of tension. The unions, all my respect to the unions, they are watching constantly the watch when the session is over, which is normal, absolutely normal. I don't mean that, I don't blame at all this. But of course, when you have then 5 minutes after 3 hours preparation to sing the most difficult piece of work, of course you have been keeping this pressure and this tension for 3 hours, and with sometimes once with a little bit of a Spanish temperament explode. But please let me make very clear that it was an enormous privilege and enormous honor to me to be able to work with Bernstein.
What composer and what piece of music speaks directly to you? Are there any roles or works that you haven't attempted that you might like to try in the future?
Well, of course, every singer has some favorite roles. I do too. I could mention Don José in Carmen, I could mention Rodolfo in La Bohème, I could mention Ricardo in Ballo in Maschio, I could mention so many. It's difficult to choose. Piece of music that goes directly to my heart, there is one more than any other. And this is Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto number 2. Don't ask me why, I don't know. But I was listening and listening one time after the other when I was in hospital in Seattle to this tape, to this piano concerto, different version, different conductor, different pianist. And this is a kind of music that I feel so much associated with myself, with my soul, with my emotions. New roles. Well, of course there is a way, kind of roles that you would like to perform, but due to several circumstances, you are not able to, or due to your limitations as an artist. Of course, I would like to perform Othello, but I don't think, at least at the moment, that I have the right voice or the right personality as an artist to perform this kind of role. But I try very hard every year, every season, to add some new roles to my repertory. I think this is a must from an artist, not to be in a comfortable position and just be tempted by routine. I think an artist has to risk and has to take challenges, and this is what, without any arrogance, in a very modest way, I try to do.
I have two identical questions here, so I guess I have to ask it. What is your favorite aria, and would you sing it a cappella, the first 24 bars? And the other one mentioned that your imitation of Pavarotti was very nice.
I would like to be able to imitate Pavarotti. My favorite aria? Oh, there's so many, really. Maybe the aria I sang most at any other one is this one that says, Che gelida marina se la lasci riscaldar, and so on. Because I sang probably La Bohème. Oh, please, no. I sang probably La Bohème, Rodolfo's in Bohème, more than any other opera, and probably around 300 times. So this is the one I really know by heart now.
Why aren't there many world-class American tenors? Is it the language or the training or something else?
Oh, I disagree with that. I think in the past, United States, America had wonderful tenors. Many wonderful tenors. Recent examples could be Pierce or Richard Tucker or John Vickers, to mention just a few. And in our days, I think that the opera world has a few wonderful American tenors like Neil Shikoff or Leach or others that probably at this moment I do not recall. But I think that there is an important tradition of wonderful American tenor voices, and I hope you keep it.
Could you tell us a little bit about your plans, your concerts and other appearances coming up in the near future?
Well, after leaving the United States, I will perform in Europe the second half of July, two concerts in Germany and in England and in France. And then, this is the most important project, is 1 month of holiday. I don't know, maybe because I didn't have any offer, or maybe I wasn't asked to sing for this period of time, but for the first time I'm in many, 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 many years, I'm going to be able to do 4 weeks of holiday. And this is a very important project in the next few months. But besides that, I'll be committed with opera in Europe, at La Scala, in Vienna, in London, in Barcelona, and also concert tours in Europe, in Far East, in South America, in the States. I'm happy to announce that I'll be back in the States at the end of January for a, how I would say this, a mini tour that will include Atlantic City, Miami, and New York City. And this is a very special occasion for me, because finally, after many, many years, I've been able last April to make a recording that tries to pay tribute to Mario Lanza. So in this record, I'm singing many of his favorite songs and favorite arias and some of his MGM movies songs. And this is something I for many, many years I wanted to do. So, and this mini tour I was talking about, it's part of the launch of this new album, and I'm very happy to be able to do that for American audiences.
Before asking the final question, I'd like to present you with a certificate of appreciation for appearing here today. I'd like to present you with a valuable Press Club mug. And a reliable source told me that you're a basketball fan.
You're right.
Played when you were a youth and still watch it today. So I'd like you to have a Washington Bullets cap to take with you.
Thanks very much.
Last question is that you were influenced by the film The Great Caruso. Will there be a film The Great Carreras to inspire your fans and future opera singers?
Well, this is a surprise. I never thought about this, as you can imagine, and this is for sure not up to me to decide. And honestly, I think that there are many, many artists in the world that would deserve that much more than myself.
Thank you.